This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. Again, if you would like to contact me, as per usual, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Again, if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine, I'll need your name and address in order to send that on to Grace and Truth. And again, you can leave me prayer requests, and you can re-listen to the program on my website. You can, contact me either through regular mail or through the website. So if you need those addresses, you'll want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, today we've come to the day after Christmas, and I suppose many people are still celebrating Christmas today. But nevertheless, this has been the Christmas weekend. And I was thinking as we were reading through Acts chapter 20 how that Paul had said, or actually Luke had written about Paul's journeys. He said, "But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days." And that was Acts 20 and verse 6. Now we're going to break away from the real thoughts of Acts right now today and spend a little time thinking about special days in the Bible. Christmas is a special day. It's a day when we honor the birth of the Lord Jesus, and yet in a sense it's a day that the Lord never asked us to honor. And my conflict at this time of the year is always, why do we spend so much time on a day that the Lord did not ask us to celebrate, and spend so little time on the day that he did ask us to celebrate? And that one, of course, would be the day of his death, and we would do that through the Lord's Supper. And of course, even here in Acts, Paul did it with the Christians that he had gone to visit there in he said he came in seven days. They came to Troas, so they did it with the Christians at Troas. And why is there so little emphasis on that which the Lord has asked us to do, and so much emphasis on that which the Lord has not asked us to do? We spend a great deal of time this time of the year trying to put Christ back into Christmas. And when we look at the word itself, it's a Christ Mass. And the Mass is, as I understand it, a celebration that crucifies Christ afresh in a bloodless way. And most of us that are listening to this program really believe that Christ was once offered for sins forever. He's not going to be offered again. We do receive that gift. We do remember his death. And so this whole business of how we celebrate Christmas and how we force it on the world has become a real confusion insofar as the gospel's concerned and as far as my mind is concerned. Now, I think we can celebrate Christmas in a right way, but I also believe that we have gotten involved in it in such a way that we have forgotten that the Lord never asked for a birthday celebration. He asked for a celebration and a remembrance of him at his death, and we show forth his death till he come. And I hope we don't forget that today. He has asked us to trust him. And today we're going to celebrate Christmas. This weekend we celebrated Christmas in the way the world celebrates Christmas. And many who are celebrating Christmas do not even trust the Lord. And so the whole business of putting Christ back into Christmas or leaving Christ out of Christmas, I think, is a personal matter. And I think we as Christians should honor Christ on this day. And there are ways that we can do that. But at the same time, I don't think that we need to fight the religious systems of the world on this day and make a problem. About whether we say Happy Holidays or whether we say Merry Christmas, make that a problem that we don't need to make it. Now, holidays are important. If you go back into the Old Testament, the Jews in Leviticus 23 were to celebrate the Sabbath. It was a day of rest. That came weekly. And in much the same way, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. For those of us who believe that it should be celebrated on the Lord's Day, we celebrate it often. It's not a demand that we celebrate it every Lord's Day, but we do, in most cases, try to celebrate it every Lord's Day. We put an emphasis on that if we really love the Lord and want to do what pleases Him. As I said, He has not asked for a birthday celebration. He's asked for this celebration. And so we've given Him a birthday celebration, whether He likes it or not. And in that birthday celebration, we have mixed lies with truth. We've told our children about Santa Claus so that when they find out that Santa Claus is a myth, they can also wonder if Christ is a myth. And frankly, I hope that those of you who are Christians have not taught your children about Santa Claus, other than teaching them that that is one of the traditions that many people have on this day. But I hope you don't try to convince your children that there is a Santa Claus. That would be a great mixture of truth and error that you do not want to foist on your children. But we did have the Sabbath in the Old Testament. It was a day of rest. And then we had the Passover, which we know speaks of the crucifixion of the Lord that came in the early spring. It's at Easter time. And along with the Passover came the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that was the 7 days following the Passover, when the lamb was slain, where the blood was applied to the doorposts and lintels of the houses of Israel while they were in Egypt. And because of the blood, the death angel, the Lord, actually, when He passed through the land, He spared those homes that had blood on the doorposts. And even today, the Lord spares individuals, not whole households, but individuals who have applied the blood in a figurative way through faith to their own hearts. And so there was the Passover, speaking of the death of Christ. There was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which speaks of a holy life that we live in view of the Passover. Then there was, during that Feast of Unleavened Bread, a feast called the Feast of First Fruits. And it's interesting that the Feast of First Fruits followed the Passover. It was the morrow after the Sabbath, whatever that means, because the Sabbath may very well have been the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, rather than the first Saturday in that week. But it may have been the first Saturday in that week. It's not clear. But on the Feast of First Fruits, the first fruits of the barley harvest was offered to the Lord, and it's a picture of the resurrection of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And that is the day on which, on the Jewish calendar, that was the day on which the Lord was raised from the dead. And then 49 days after that, in our count, it would be 50 days, Jewish count, because they count first and last days, came the Feast of Pentecost. 50 days following the Feast of First Fruits, two loaves of wheat were offered to the Lord, and this was, again, a summer festival. And on the Feast of Pentecost, if you'll remember, the Lord established the church. And so, in Acts chapter 2, we find that the disciples were gathered together in that upper room, and they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. There were flames of fire that fell on them. It looked like flames of fire anyway, and there was a rushing mighty wind, and they began to speak in other languages. And on that day, the church was born. Now, when we come to the month of our month of September, there's also a feast called the Feast of Trumpets. It's the first day of the seventh month, and it probably speaks of the regathering of Israel, and some would think that the trumpet might be associated with the coming of the Lord for the church, but it's probably more associated with the regathering of Israel into the land, because really prophecy is not associated with the church. Prophecy is associated with Israel. And then during that seventh month, there's the Day of Atonement. And that's the 10th day of that seventh month, usually our September. And that speaks of the salvation of the nation, and sins are put away. And it reminded them every year that as a nation they needed to make confession to God and have atonement for their sins. And so they slew two goats. One was a scapegoat and one was a sin offering. And there were ceremonies associated with all of that. And then toward the end of the month of September, there was a week that we called the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. And that was an important feast because it speaks of their day, the day when they are going to dwell in safety in Israel, and it speaks probably of the day when the Lord establishes his millennial kingdom and the children of Israel are safe in the land. Now, I believe that at that point, the church and those of us who believe will be in heaven. And then we have another feast that we hear about, and it was called the Feast of Hanukkah. In John's Gospel, I believe it's John's Gospel, chapter 10, it's called the Feast of Dedication. And the Lord didn't avoid this feast, but it was a feast that the Lord had not asked them to celebrate, and it was celebrated on their December 25th, and it was a man-made feast celebrating the mythical tradition that when the Maccabees relit the light in the temple, that even though they had only enough oil to keep the light lit for a day, it miraculously stayed lit for, as I understand it, 7 days until they were able to obtain the oil that they needed to keep that light lit. It was supposed to be a perpetual light. And the Lord used that day in a proper way to explain who he was, because people gathered in Jerusalem on that day. So in John chapter 10, we see him telling them of himself on that day. And that's what we should be doing on this day that the world has chosen to honor Christ. We should be telling them about the Christ that we honor in a right way by trusting in him, by believing in him, and then by being baptized and remembering him in the breaking of the bread. Christmas, then, is really a day of mixture of truth and lies, where we are involved with celebrating with the unsaved their way, a Christ that they don't believe in. And so I'm always grieved this time of the year. I'm always kind of glad when this whole holiday season is over. Not that I don't like getting together with family, but I always wonder how the Lord views what we do on Christmas. Is it sort of like the fellow that says, I don't want a birthday party, and shows up at home and has 50 people in his house surprising him with a birthday party that he did not want? I sometimes wonder if that might be what Christmas is as far as the Lord is concerned. But regardless of how you celebrate it, I just want to say that if you should meet me and you should say happy holidays, I won't take offense at that, because it is a holiday that I'm glad for. I'm not glad for everything that is associated with this holiday. I'm not real glad that people try to honor Christ on this day who do not really believe in him. I'm not happy about that at all. And yet, today, I would like to believe that somebody listening to my voice will understand that Christ is real. It is true that he was born, we don't know exactly when, but he was born in and came into this world, but he came with that purpose to die. And so he did die for our sins, and now Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And then he talks about how that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. And we shouldn't be proclaiming his death unless we believe that that death was the offering that satisfied God on our behalf. We trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts. Our God and our Father, bless our lesson. Bless those who are listening. Any who are unsaved, celebrating Christmas, help them to understand the hypocrisy of that, that the only way you can be honored is by true faith in the Lord Jesus and in his death, his burial, and in his resurrection. We pray for thy blessing upon the program in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.